Hard Mark Podcast.
Shrimp on the barbie. Shrimp on the barbie.
Do you respect that?
That's corruption.
I could make a fake snake.
You not pee in the pool. You not pee
on the barbie. All of myself is clean.
Broadcasting from Hedonism 4. For live, for the first time since Ryan estimated 2021, maybe July. Welcome to the Hard Mark Podcast, a show where I, Eric Donaldson, wrestling fan of over 30 years, introduce one match per episode to my co-host who has never watched wrestling. Maybe eventually we change that, because like, how many matches can you watch before like you can still say you've never watched?
I don't think
wrestling.
You change. I think you leave it.
Okay,
it's a staple to the
several
show.
Hundred matches. He's never watched wrestling. Everyone, we talk about the backstory, we watch the match, and then we rank that match on our ever-growing list. The purpose of the show is to see what happens when someone who's never watched wrestling is introduced to its most notable matches. And without any further ado, my authentically Washingtonian co-host, Flying Ryan Murphy. Ryan, glad to have you back in studio.
I'm back.
Better than ever. he's slim, he's trim.
People would say that.
Speaking of trim, tomorrow night's going to be fun. Or Saturday night's going to be fun.
Speaking of trim.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right.
People still say that term for that, right?
Trim,
getting some trim. I'm going out to get some trim.
I can't tell if you're fucking with me right off the bat.
That's a thing, right? What are you saying? You don't know that term?
I mean, you're a lot older than me, obviously. So, like, you grew up in different eras of slang. So, I don't know. Like,
you've not heard that term before.
Is it even real?
Yeah, that's real.
You got some trim last night?
Yeah. Oh, wow. You said it like a natural.
Did I?
Yeah. You've never heard this before? I'm surprised that this didn't make its way out to Gold Bar.
I think you're fucking with me. Like,
that's real. What? It's like in the same vein as like getting some strange, but like different. It's
getting
like,
some strange?
Yeah. Did that's you get another some strange? That, or did
I feel
you,
like you're just making these up. You're just right off the cuff.
You've
like
never just, heard strange or trim?
No.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's
I'm
going to
look this up tonight.
This is like the reverse of the... Oh gosh, the cream pie incident of 2020.
What cream pie incident?
Where I was unclear about the term. Like, I knew that I could always Google it, but I was like, I'm going to ask Ryan what a cream pie is.
You didn't know?
I had an idea what it was, but I wanted you to tell me. And then you sheepishly kind of sort of did, but not really.
I watch a lot of porn, so.
We're back, everybody. Okay, so this is not Rumpus time. This is a wrestling episode, but I mean... You know.
Oh, right. Forgot. I think we went, did we start on Rumpus Time last time?
We did a Rumpus Time when you were in another state.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
And then you switched states and now it's.
I was starting on square. Well, no, you're right. Totally. We did.
But, I mean, you know, we'll see how things develop from here. But so it's not really time for the, you know, frivolity talk, but anything that you think is important to tell the listeners before we get into the wrestling.
I don't have much yet.
Sure.
Yeah, I've only been here for, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Maybe 4 weeks.
This is the second time we've seen one another since you've been here, but the first time we've actually sat down and recorded.
Almost 4 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're on a once every 2 week rotation. Yeah, it's like a custody arrangement of sorts. But we collectively, the state of Washington is glad to have you back, Ryan. Washington's favorite son, Ryan Murphy.
Jay Inslee not here to like shake my hand or something. Like,
are you talking about Kim Jong Inslee?
Kim, depending on where this audience like splits, you know?
I thought we were tapping into those folks now. I thought that was the idea.
Yeah,
we'll talk. So as we saw in Rumpus, so recently as we saw in Rumpus Time, the WWF have themselves their newest competitor in the form of Y2J, Chris Jericho. You recall this? Yes, where he showed up, the Rock was in the middle of the ring. He wasn't wearing pants. There was a big countdown to the Millennium thing, and then Chris Jericho.
Yeah. It was I do.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. Yep, so that's where we left off. We were talking a bit about that. So Jericho. as a bit of backstory. He wanted out of WCW as he felt that the Hogans and the Flairs of the world would never give up their strangleholds over the top spots in the company. And so he made the jump to the younger, fresher WWF in the hopes of gaining some upwards mobility. And if you're going to show up in the WWF in 1999, there's not many more prime showcases than having a promo duel with The Rock. And while he was brought in as a heel, as a bad guy, within about 6 months, Jericho would find himself as one of the WWF's most popular wrestlers, and he would win the Intercontinental Championship to solidify himself as one of the key players to watch in the years to come. Jericho formed an alliance with China, who we've seen a couple... We've seen China before, not the country, the lady China. Yeah. The former bodyguard turned wrestler, the first woman to have ever won the Intercontinental title, and she agreed to watch Jericho's back during his title defenses moving forward. Fast forward to the end of 1999, and another man would also debut in the company and amassed an unrivaled amount of success in an incredibly short amount of time, and his name was Kurt Angle. Kurt had... Oh, you were just making a noise.
Don't get me with these noises.
No, I'm not getting you the noise. No, I heard, like, you. Here's what you do. Here's what Ryan does. When you're going to talk, you do that. And I heard that.
I did do that.
You did do that. I did that. And so I thought that was your cue, like you were going to say something.
I'll raise my hand.
Please. Know. Okay. Right, yeah. We can work with that arrangement. So Kurt Angle had won the Olympic gold medal in Atlanta in 1996 for freestyle wrestling, which is impressive. That's an impressive feat. But it's also worth mentioning that Angle was considered to be undersized for his weight class. He was typically wrestling men outweighing him significantly, and he had actually won the gold medal with a broken neck. He was only able to compete after receiving injections to reduce the pain.
That time I did have something to say.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm Olympics. He's a real wrestler. Like,
how dare you, sir?
I apologize.
Yeah,
that was fucked up.
Yeah, that
I
was.
Should not have said that.
What a bad little boy.
And I take it back. And okay, but a real wrestler.
And you doubled down on it immediately. Yes, he won.
Okay.
He legitimately won the Olympic gold medal in 1996 in freestyle wrestling.
Is he the only Olympic wrestler to
jump to the WWF?
Yeah.
Up until so they just actually signed somebody who won an Olympic game or two ago. Up until just recently, okay. Yes, he has been the only one who's kind of made. Now there's been other amateur wrestlers that didn't compete on that level who have made the jump, but he's the only Olympic gold medalist who did.
Okay.
So I guess a little bit different in that regard. But again, he broke his neck during a match in the qualifiers. He broke his neck. He basically was going for a takedown on a guy and somehow his neck basically just got shoved up against the guy's chest or something. And he broke it. And then he was getting these injections to just numb the pain so he could continue to wrestle from there. Because the thought of trying to go through all this shit for another 4 years was I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it if I was wrestling for the Olympics. I would do it in the WWE where I'm making a lot of money.
Sure, right.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck about the the country in the Olympics, you know?
The country? What are you doing? Well, you know what audience we're trying to appeal to. What do you mean you don't give a shit?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, Ryan, you've lost us all these terrific sponsors. But I like a lot of other Olympians who do care about their country a lot. Angle was confronted with the reality of life after winning the gold medal. This might be my favorite part of the notes. The WWF had approached him shortly after his win, so after he won the gold medal, and he told Vince McMahon that if he was to join the WWF, he would not be willing to lose any matches as he was a legitimate Olympic champion.
For sure. They call me Never Miss.
Negotiations stalled after that, if you could imagine. So the moment he said that to Vince, Vince was like, okay, no, this isn't going to work. That's not what we do here. So after trying his hand as a sportscaster in his native Pittsburgh, eventually Angle sat down and watched Monday Night Raw. And he took notice of one man in particular, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he finally realized the athleticism involved with pro wrestling. And shortly afterwards, he was enticed to join the WWF. Yes, there's that noise again.
He really stood on his business, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He didn't give up his morals, you know?
No, for sure. He saw Stone Cold down in some brewskis, and he's like, sign me up.
Yeah, no, me and him a lot alike, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
He sold himself out. I sold my country.
You know? I'll still never lose, but, you know, yeah, nonetheless. Yeah,
okay. All right, so, okay.
Now, yes.
Real quick.
Uh-huh.
Taking up a lot of time here with these.
I hate that you're wasting
what broadcast so much money. Did he work in, like?
I think it was local sports for a Pittsburgh news station.
Just like on the news or something, like a late night.
Yeah.
You didn't. Okay. I
was wondering. Like the equivalent, the Pittsburgh equivalent of King 5.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not like national or anything like that. But he was like a celebrity in Pittsburgh just on account of what he had done.
He's like a Steve Poole for sports.
Yeah. You could say that. Yeah. Who's like the sports guy? We don't have a sports guy?
We do. There's a bunch. There's all for all four, but they're not like well known.
Okay.
You know?
Well, imagine. Trying to think of even like a close comparison. And like, I can't think of like a really exact one, but like, imagine Sean Kemp, like after he retired, like, I'm going to be a sportscaster in Seattle.
That's disrespectful to Sean Kemp, I'm pretty sure.
Sean Kemp never won any gold medals, for the record. Or actually, no, he did. Actually, I take that back. But he never won any titles. And not only did
Sean Kemp not win a title?
I'm sure he didn't. The Sonics didn't win since the 70s.
The Sonics play.
No, I know this for a fact.
They went in 76, and then they played again in the 90s, right?
Like they went against LA, the Bulls in the finals.
The Bulls, yeah. Okay, they didn't win. Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, but and then.
The Western Conference Finals.
The Chicago's not in the Western Conference.
We are in the Western Conference.
We're not
Sean
anymore.
Kemp, Western Conference Finals champion of 96.
We're lowering that bar that much. Anyway, yeah. But I'm going with this comparison. I could say Ken Griffey Jr., but I don't want to offend you too much.
Thanks.
Now, it's generally agreed, although Kurt Angle does have a butt, much like Ken Griffey Jr., it's generally agreed that Angle took to pro wrestling faster than just about anyone in history. Now, in amateur wrestling, Ryan, I know you're an expert, but you're trained to always stay off your back. That's how you get pinned in amateur wrestling. You're also being trained to not show any emotion. So if you're hurt, you don't want your opponent to know that, like, oh, I just strained a muscle or something like that. Like, you don't want to give any of those signs away. Now, obviously, in the WWE, WWF, you're going to be expected to do a lot of both of those things.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a crapshoot over how well certain guys with amateur backgrounds are going to take to the professional ranks. But Angle was able to adapt himself seamlessly. Again, probably like the fastest anyone was able to like get it and become really, really good in a short amount of time.
I can't stop myself here.
All right. You're on fire.
I just feel like this ties in so well with how this whole podcast, like, at least for me, started with the South Park, you know, like a professional wrestler coming in, like, what the fuck is going on? And then like, oh, yeah. Like, you don't want to play that up in a wrestling match, but here, theatrics are important. You know?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that. I want to tie it back into the audience. You know, I want to make sure they real. You know.
Yeah, all the people with their notes are like, oh, is he going to bring up the South Park thing? The whole start of it, the whole start of the podcast, which was really not, but in your mind it was.
In my mind it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you tied that loose thread together.
People were wondering.
People wanted to know. The Jeremy, the Jeff Renner of the podcast.
Gotta carry on.
Because of that training, there were high hopes for Angle when he made his WWF debut. Now, you'd probably assume that as a legitimate Olympic hero, Angle was going to be portrayed as a good guy. However, the WWF went in the other direction, and they portrayed Angle as an arrogant, obnoxious dork, so he'd be preaching to anyone that would listen about his three I's that won him the Olympic gold: intensity, integrity, and intelligence, as well as the virtues of sobriety and abstinence.
Oh, God.
He felt that he was entitled to the cheers of the fans due to his Olympic history, and when they would boo him, he became whiny and petulant. But despite how big of a dork his character was, he was also presented as a top-tier competitor in the ring. So much so that in early 2000, he would win the European Championship, his first title victory, in just a few months after debuting with the company. And so he'd promptly go on to defend that title against the previously mentioned China in a match that finished with Angle cheap-shotting China with the title belt, getting himself intentionally disqualified. Now, to be fair, he claimed on television that he'd heard a rumor that China was going to steal the belt and pawn it to pay for plastic surgery. He actually said that on TV, which is very funny. This heinous act led to Chris Jericho, China's ally, running out to make the save. And so shortly afterwards, the match was made for No Way Out in Hartford, Connecticut, pitting the WWF Intercontinental Champion Chris Jericho against the European champion Kurt Angle. Please note that in this match, only Jericho's Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Angle's European Championship is not.
Fair. It's in the U.S.,
right? Absolutely, yeah. If you're not in Europe, then don't defend the European title. Any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns?
I love Hartford, Connecticut.
Do you know anything about Hartford?
No.
I don't. They used to have a hockey team. I don't think they do anymore.
There's some sort of reference to it in The Office. That's what I think where I...
Oh, really?
Hartford, Connecticut, like Jim versus his one of his...
I'm just going to let you dangle in the wind on this
one. I know. It's one of his girls...
one of his harem.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of his trim.
But that's, yeah, ever since then.
All right. Wrestling with the Data. A little bit of data for everybody. Everybody loves the Data. In addition to your tying it back to the South Park, everyone loves Data. Hard Data.
South Park loves
Data. The hardest of hard data. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your record, 51 wins, 39 losses. It's
really good.
Two draws. This is ouch. This is the 93rd match that we have seen so far. You're on a one match losing streak. And because now we have both of our rankings, which, oh man, what a great thing that is for us both.
I love that addition.
Perfect.
I just 100.
Good.
I give you a lot of credit all the time, but that I give you credit for that.
You're a real tiger mom when it comes to compliments. Tiger mom. Yeah. So I'm glad that I won you over that. Yeah. One thing that I did, I don't even remember doing this, so it must have been a while ago. One thing that I did was I was curious about, like, so there's been accusations of favoritism towards both of us. You know, I've accused you of being maybe a little bit more of a homer for Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I think you've levied a similar sort of thing against me for Hulk Hogan.
Is that not how we're supposed to rank the matches?
Scientifically it is, but
I say the science, you know,
like. Right. You got to stay on board with the science. Bill Nye would expect nothing less, but what I did was, cause I was curious, I took what the average ranking was for some prominent names that we featured on the program and compared your average ranking of those wrestlers and my average ranking of those wrestlers. And so I thought it might
good
be
analysis,
fun.
Good analysis. Yeah.
Any data analyst positions that are out there. I'm really good at it, as you will find out here momentarily. Speaking of Steve Austin, let's see what his average ranking is. So for Ryan, I'm actually a little surprised it was this low for you. Mm. Your average ranking of Steve Austin matches is 40.
Really? Mm-hmm. That is super low.
So remember, this is the 93rd match that we've seen. So it's like a little above average.
And how many matches have there been?
Oh, of Steve Austin?
Yeah. Five to 10?
Yeah, in between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
Probably slightly closer to 5 than 10, but yes, give or take.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, yeah, again, 40 was your average. For me, 63.
Oh, even worse.
Even worse.
It doesn't get better.
It doesn't get... I disliked it even more somehow. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, moving on to the other name that I mentioned, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, that should be good.
This was interesting. Ryan's average ranking for Hulk Hogan, 59.
I'm surprised it wasn't 93.
I'm a little... Because there's definitely a Hulk section that tends to skew lower. Yeah. But I think there's a handful of Hulk matches that are higher, I think, that threw it off. So your average ranking, 59. My average ranking, 56.
So close.
Yes, very close.
So, I mean, you start breaking down averages, right?
Mm-hmm. Which I'm doing.
And you kind of see, yes, as you said.
Yes.
You start to see where things lie, you know?
Like, you really do.
You know?
It's what a.
You can't look at data in one set. You got to look at it over, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not wrong is what I'm getting out of this.
You're very, very spot on for Hulk Hogan. You might be a little bit wrong about Steve Austin, but Hulk Hogan, you're spot on.
Okay.
This next one, also very close. Bret Hitman Hart. One of the perennial favorites of mine, anyway, on the program. Ryan's ranking 32, so you know upper end of the spectrum, as it were. Upper third. My average ranking 35.
Very close.
Just a couple spots.
Watching a few wrestling matches, you really understand the game.
You really do. You really do. And then, last but not least, another one of our favorites, Mick Foley.
Mm.
Who I love.
Yeah.
And like this.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to, like, I think it's important, like, 30, the 30s are
this has
still,
gotta be, this has gotta be high for me. This has gotta be high.
This is high. I don't, like, because, I mean, you could probably find a higher average ranking, but, like, of someone that we've watched a
in
bunch
that
of matches
for sure.
Probably not so much, but yeah, your average ranking for Mick Foley, 21.
Oh, I'm surprised it's that low.
Oh, like, you're expecting, like, teens or something, maybe?
At least, maybe, in the top 10.
I'd have to look at what, like, the bottom-ranked Mick Foley matches were. But, yeah, 21 for you and 35 for me.
I feel like something's off about this a little bit. Like,
you think?
Maybe, like, average isn't the best way to... I off the top of my head, I don't know how you would properly, like, calibrate that. But maybe average isn't the best... Because I feel like that's off, right? Like, Mick Foley is, like, my favorite. And I know his matches are very high for me. There could be some down, too, that, you know, bad matches. But it seems like... It'd be up there a little bit. So I was surprised to hear. Okay.
I can pull up the data if you'd like.
I believe your data. I'm not shitting on your data.
Right? No, I know. I'm not taking it personally.
I mean, I know you're not a data analyst, you know, like me, but, I don't know. Like, I was surprised to see him that low. So,
like, Sting, let's see. It's hard to see with a dark font here.
Also, while you're looking, do you know who's the most watched?
Oh, who's had the most matches? That's a good question. I'd need to run.
Look,
I'll make a note to myself for next time. Most matches, but yeah, I'll tinker around too.
If you come interesting up with data. I like what you've done.
Thank you. I like what you've done.
Thank you.
Anything else before we watch the match?
Is that it?
That's it.
I don't have anything left. I spit all my questions out on the floor. I'd leave my heart out here on the court.
I have corn dog seed, Eric. All right, we'll be back. We're gonna watch Y2J Chris Jericho take on the Olympic gold medalist himself, Kurt Angle. Thank you very much.
And the crowd already beginning a chant. A pro Jericho Y2J chant. Angle raking the eyes and knocking down Chris Jericho. Uh-oh. And Angle that way. Angle in another belt. One of those Intercontinental to European. He went for China. He went for China. Boom! Angle, who in turn knocked China into the steel steps. China is down and hurt.
Oh, she's down the rub. I think she may have a broken rib.
Look at this, Chico! Jericho suplexing Angle from the outside, back in. China down, being attended to by the referee here. And there's a... Oh, he got the belt up! Outside moonsault, but Kurt Angle got that belt!
More intelligence!
Hit Jericho right in the face! This one could be over!
We are back. We just watched Chris Jericho, Y2J, defend the Intercontinental title against Kurt Angle. Ryan, what did you think of the match?
I just feel like you did something to, like, reset my, like, wrestling thing. Like, you're like, oh, you're back here. We're just going to reset it, baseline it. Like, the most baseline, boring match you could ever... It wasn't horrible. I wasn't terribly bored, but it was not good. It was just the most middle of the road match I can imagine watching at 10 years old of all time.
I like how you threw it at 10 years old as well. That's good too.
It just reminded me, like you said, okay, maybe not TNT as pay-per-view, but like it just reminded me of one of those matches that you would catch like accidentally scrolling through the TV.
Right.
And it just reminded me why I hated wrestling growing up.
You did not hate. No, you didn't hate wrestling. Hold on. I forgot my beer in the other room. One moment here.
Eric, I could have told you that.
Well, why didn't you grab it?
Sorry. I thought you were done. Like, okay. All right. Good to be back.
Okay. But yeah, so to be fair, this was not the original match that I had slotted into this spot. There was another match, but as I started thinking about that other match more, it was going to be a real pain in the ass to like rank and have you pick winners for. So I like kind of made a judgment call because I did want to have a match that featured Jericho and Angle. This is not a match that I've ever heard anyone talk about. Oh. And honestly, I don't think I'd ever seen this match up until like whenever I put my notes together like a month or so ago. So, you know,
do you agree? This is a very baseline match here. Like,
I have a feeling this match is going to be almost in the exact center of okay for me.
Yeah, I mean, I
like it's the most okay of
that's matches. What I'm kind of saying. Like, it's just there's nothing special. Like, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it, you know. So,
yeah, it was fine. Like, there's nothing besides the China bump, which I know we disagreed with. About
oh, we can, yeah,
we'll get into that
crazy take, but okay,
it wasn't crazy. You're crazy. I think your beanie's on.
Put a pull
tight.
Up.
Put a pull up. Let's go to the notes. So, Kurt Angle comes out first. He cuts a promo about the Hartford Whalers leaving town. That was the team I was thinking of before when we were talking. I was like, I think they have a team. Apparently, they've been gone since the year 2000 at least. So it's been a bit.
Do they even have a team there, like in Connecticut? No, I don't know, like what city.
I don't think that there's. You're talking about any sport at all, like a major
hockey team, like at least like if that was a hockey team.
Yeah, Hartford Whalers were a hockey team. I don't think they have any teams anymore.
Interesting. That's a weird. Okay, but. Fair enough, they're gone, and I loved his little pitch about it, you know.
Right,
I get it.
Like, even though they left, I'm here, but I'll have to leave, but I'll come back as your hero.
Most boring wrestler of all time.
What, Kurt Angle?
Well, I've only seen one match of his.
Sure,
so I can't.
you picked him because of this promo because why?
Well, he pulled at my heartstrings with the leaving of a team, and he was doing it
making fun of them. You know that, right? He wasn't like being sympathetic.
Okay.
He was being a dick.
So he talked about it and then he walked into the ring like a gentleman. All right. After he's done with a little speech, hops in the ring and just gets in there professionally, you know?
That's how I
go into work every day, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You saw a lot of yourself in Kurt Angle, is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And not just his hairline?
A little bit of his hairline, too.
You did actually say I have a great hairline, and as I mentioned while we were watching, within I think 2 years even what, bald.
Even when I said that though, like to be fair, like I was like, "Fuck!" His hairline's not that great. There's way better hairlines than his, but like he had his hair. Okay,
yeah, he had it. So. It didn't look bad here, but like it would start to. Right. It was on his last legs, which we can all. Sympathize with. Next, China makes her entrance. They didn't shoot her entrance all that well. So she comes out and like at this point in time, she had this bazooka thing that she would fire into the audience. It would shoot like all these fireworks. It wasn't like they did a wide shot where you couldn't really see like, oh, she's shooting these fireworks out herself or whatever. Like they did this big shot that you couldn't.
I picked it up. I thought she was shooting t-shirts into the crowd.
Would that have been better than fireworks?
Well, I don't know what I was like. Are these t-shirts just like blow? Like I thought it was, you know,
shiny t-shirts.
Yeah. So yeah.
And no thoughts on the China entrance though. She, so the simplistic Kurt Angle entrance won you over more than the bombastic fireworks bazooka entrance of China.
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I mean she wasn't in the fight, so a little bit, I guess.
She didn't really even. Yeah, she was barely. I mean, she was involved at the end, which we'll talk about, but that's about it. Jericho's out last. He cuts a little promo of his own. He calls Angle, so he's referencing Angle's three eyes of intelligence or integrity, okay. Intelligence.
Yeah.
Wait. Hold on.
And there was
intensity, integrity, and intelligence
are
the three eyes. And so Jericho used three eyes of his own to describe Angle of calling him an idiot, an imbecile, and an ignoramus. And then he added a fourth eye of intercontinental champion. So then they get started. Angle headlock to start. They have a pretty quick pace. They exchange some slaps to the face. We've got some chops by Jericho, drop toe hold into the ropes. And then maybe the biggest first relatively big move. So like Angle's charging at Jericho and Jericho ducks and like backdrops him over the top rope and Angle kind of splats face first onto the mat. But by this point, I think within the first minute, you basically confirmed like, oh, I'm just going to pick Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Besides the stuff we already talked about with the entrance, was there any other reasons why?
I don't know. I just thought just a hearty town of Hartford, Connecticut.
He was he was the bad guy, right?
Just
because he had the American
Eric,
flag.
Did I lose or something? Like, I don't know. Did I lose this match or did I win?
Maybe I watched a different match because you're treating me like I lost, but in fact, I did win.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. We'll move along. Actually, and one thing that I reacted to, but you didn't really catch any reaction to at all. So before Jericho does the backdrop to Angle, there was a point where he gets, they call it a drop toe hold, where you kind of like scissor the guy's leg with your legs and like make him go face first to the mat. he kind of caught the bottom rope with his face, which I guarantee was very painful and sucked in the moment.
I did not catch that, no.
I did, and I don't think Jericho was especially pleased about that moment, but nonetheless. So then we've got, a springboard dropkick from the top rope. So Jericho jumps to the top, does a dropkick, knocks Engel back out to the ring when he was trying to climb in. Engel then avoids a baseball slide attempt from Jericho, and they begin to brawl outside. Jericho clotheslines the ring post outside, and then he gets thrown into the steps, but he hits a moonsault, a backflip from the steps back out to Kurt Angle. Was that your favorite move of the match?
Probably.
You don't... do you not know what I'm talking about?
There was nothing in this match that stood out. Like,
no, you read this register.
Did I make a comment about it?
You did. So this was the move where Angle throws Jericho towards the steps. Jericho jumps instead of hitting them. Jericho jumps on the steps. And then does a backflip.
I thought in that they both did a very good job in that.
In that Angle like caught him, or what do you mean?
Well, I just thought both of them played it very well. Okay. Like that's what I thought about it. Like it wasn't like terribly, but they both played it really well. Like, which is cool. So I like that. I like to see.
Was that your favorite move of the match?
Probably. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I know. Yeah. This goddamn match.
Just confirm and say yes, and then we'll move on. Jericho climbs up to the top rope. Kurt Angle cuts him off and hits a big belly-to-belly suplex from the top. I know this is going to come up eventually. I'll just head this off of the pass so that people know that you're full of shit. Big Y2J chant, because the crowd, they love themselves in Jericho. They were into this match. Let me tell you. I know you're going to say you're...
Horrible thing. Crowd. Just horrible crowd. Well, I mean, one of the most... lackluster crowd. I mean, I've watched a lot of Mariner games over the last, and I have not seen a more lackluster crowd than that. That was a horrible performance. They should be embarrassed. I was a fan of Hartford before this match.
I had sympathy for them losing a team. And
this
now
is my least favorite city wrestling wise in the country at this point.
Wow.
And internationally, Canada too.
not including Japan. I'll have to take a look to see if we've watched any other matches from Hartford. I'll run the data at some point around that.
Okay.
Let's see here. So Angle starts working on Jericho's arm. This is probably the low point of the match. Angle like kind of wrapped Jericho's arm around the rope and is just kind of like pulling on it. And then we've got a chicken wing that Angle hits on or is using on Jericho, and a couple of chin locks, which everybody loves a good chin lock. Jericho fires up with some forearms. He hits a big double arm backbreaker, a move that I always loved and enjoyed using in the old N64 wrestling video games. German suplex from Angle. How weird is it that a American Olympic hero using a German suplex, but here we are. Single arm DDT from Kurt Angle. Got some elbows being delivered to Jericho's arm, yada, yada, yada. Let's just jump out to the end. So there, Angle grabs the Intercontinental title. So remember, both men are champions, although Jericho's Intercontinental title is the only one up for grabs. Angle grabs Jericho's Intercontinental title, and then the ref... Go ahead.
Off a guy's lap.
Off of a man's... Mark.
Is that where they usually keep the...
I know that man's name, Mark Yeaton.
Mark Yeaton?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a longtime WWF employee. I think he was... I mean, I think his official title was like timekeeper or something, but in reality, okay. I think he was the one... He was the one communicating to like the referee, like time cues and stuff like that. I think also, maybe most notably for your interest, not that we've seen this, and I know you keep mentioning it, that we haven't seen it, and we will soon. Stone Cold Steve Austin, the beer bashes. Anytime you see someone throwing him a beer, it's Mark Yeaton.
What a guy. Like,
Mark Eaton's arm is so impressive. Like, he's always spot on with those beer. There's been a handful where they're okay, that one wasn't good. But like his accuracy is fantastic.
I love that guy. I love that guy.
He's the belt holder.
Yeah.
So Angle grabs the belt from his lap. And then the referee kind of wrestles it away from him. And then Jericho takes that opportunity while Angle's distracted, goes for the walls of Jericho. Angle crawls to the ropes to break the hold. Because again, the ropes, that's out of bounds. Ryan loves that. Back brawling outside there by the announcers. Angle grabs the other title, his title, the European title. And then China walks around. He swings the belt at China, who dodges. And then Angle gets shoved into her and she goes into the steps.
You want to discuss this right now?
I'm not saying this is like the worst thing I've ever seen. But her bump into the steps was pretty lacking in my eyes. It was pretty silly looking.
I don't know. I just like, I fully just like, it's like a guy, like it didn't, like I noticed stuff about wrestling, right? Like I noticed.
You're very observant. Yes. Are you fishing for compliments? You're the best wrestling watcher I've ever seen, Ryan.
It's enough. All right. Easy.
Baby needs his bottle.
What I'm saying is like, I'll pick up on like stuff like that. So like that just seemed like a big guy bumped into a tiny girl.
Not tiny.
Okay.
She's like the same size as the man.
That's insane, dude. Now we're getting even more insane.
What do you mean?
She's not the same size as that guy. That guy's like at least twice as big as her.
No way. Twice as, no. I think Kurt Angle is larger than China.
No shit.
But twice the size? Did you see China?
The muscle mass?
The muscle mass.
He's way bigger than her.
No.
Okay.
They're pretty comparable.
Let's just say they were even the same. That bump didn't look that egregious anyway. Like
it was pretty egregious. It was a little tap to it. Now I sound like Ryan and you sound like me.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Yeah, well, what are you doing?
I watched it three times.
Yeah, because I knew that you missed it the first time. So I was like, oh, we should go back and see. Because you're going to love this, Ryan. Because you love it when dumb shit happens and you can make fun of wrestling. So you get to feel good about yourself.
Okay.
And so I went back and you're like, that wasn't that bad. What? Play it back again, Eric. And I'm like, God damn it. So now we watched this stupid China lightly tapping the ring steps thing three times. And then like she goes down like, oh. And like I thought for sure you were going to be like, okay, no, that was stupid.
Not on that one. I've seen a bunch of them like that before. Not on that one, though. That wasn't that bad. I think you should make like a little gif, put it up on whoever watches this, and just like do a poll. I'd be like, is that nuts? Is this insane? And just see what the people think, you know?
That poll makes no fucking
or
sense.
Or as Grant. All just right.
Put up gif, is this nuts? Yes or no? And then just see what the fuck people have to say about it. But again, I'm not saying this is the worst bump I've ever seen, but it was just like a moment where I was like, okay, whatever. She's not very good at this.
I was also like, okay, whatever. I didn't make a big deal of it until you did. You're like, this is insane. You called it out.
This is the Austin
316. I just overlooked it. And then you're like, oh no, we have to like, so you did this, Eric.
It was for your benefit that I went back. I was like, this is the type of shit Ryan loves when like dumb little like oversells happen. And then you shit on my heart.
I really thought she like, might have broke her back or something, you know.
Okay, well, I'm not entertaining this any longer. So the referee now starts checking on the paralyzed China outside the ring. Kurt Angle gets suplexed back into the ring, and then Jericho then goes for his trademark lion salt, where he kind of bounces off the middle rope and does a backflip. But then guess what? That Intercontinental title belt is still in the ring. As he's doing the flip, Angle grabs the belt, clocks him in the face, Jericho in the face as he's landing, and then makes the cover. 1, 2, 3. We've got a new Intercontinental Champion, and that brings Ryan's record to 52, 39-2.
Shocking win.
I
did not think I was going to win that.
Why did you not? Why were you so convinced that you were losing?
When he went after China, I was like, oh, he's going to be the bad. Like, he really is the bad guy now, and he's going to get like that's. And then, but I'll take the win. I will not. I don't give it back to the people.
Right.
I'll accept it.
The people of Hartford.
But I thought I was going to lose. So,
the quiet people of Hartford.
That doesn't happen a lot. I don't have a lot of matches where I'm like, oh, I fucked up, and then I actually win. I definitely had a lot of where I fucked up, and then I actually lose. But that's not one that happens that often. So,
is this a data point you want me to start tracking?
Yeah, I think you should throw that in there. You know, it's going to be a lot of like
Ryan thought he was going to win, but then he actually thought he was going to lose halfway through.
Yeah. So,
that's it. That's the match.
Well, good. That's all it deserves to be talked about. That match. Doesn't deserve any more talking.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Let's go to the rank. You have it on your phone, right?
I have to pull it up. I could tell you where I'd put this. How many matches are on the spreadsheet?
This will be the 93rd.
93rd?
Yeah. Well, don't just say a fucking... Hold on.
How about 47? We put it 47.
This is completely... That's not how this fucking... You're ranking matches against each other.
No.
I don't allow this. I'm drawing a line in the sand. Not happening.
What bracket is 47 in?
First of all, shut the fuck up about 47. So, secondly, so we've both kind of agreed, you know, in theory, in principle, that this is like the middle of the list. The absolute middle.
You can't get any more middle than this.
So, like, the middle of the groupings is okay.
Okay.
Okay is the middle of the grouping. So I'm looking at the middle of okay. This is your list right here. Really, the middle of okay is 57.
That's a good point.
So 47 would be actually closer to good, which, like, I don't know, maybe this, I'm not getting the vibe from you that you think that this is closer to good, but I'm just.
It should be closer to 67.
So let's see. Let's see. How are my peepers going to do? 57. 57 on your list right now is Team WCW versus Team NWO versus Team Rowdy Roddy Piper. It was a big clusterfuck match there. 58 for your, this one you might remember a little bit better, was the British Bulldogs versus Jack Foley, a young Mick Foley who got his jaw broken in a match against the.
It really hurt him in the rankings and the average.
It did. Yeah, this is actually what pulled him down, actually, now that I'm talking about it, which is funny that we're bringing this up organically. But yeah, so that's 58.
I certainly don't want to put this match above that.
Do you want to hear what 67 is? Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, why not?
We have all the time in the world. Why the fuck wouldn't we just do this?
67 is still an okay?
It's down towards the bottom of okay, yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so 67. Wow, what a this is a criminal act that this is 67 for you, by the way. What is it? Because this is almost a bad match. This isn't a bad fucking match, you idiot. Rob Van Dam versus Bam Bam Bigelow. You have it 67. This is a great. Anyone who knows anything about wrestling, he's got Bam Bam Bigelow versus Rob Van Dam at 67.
This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about, all right, I don't need any disrespect thrown on my name.
If you rewatch rankings. That match right now, you'd be like, I'm an idiot.
I think
I'm a fool.
One time you should take one of these matches that like was maybe like needs to be revitalized or something, you know, and just see, like, because I probably won't remember watching, like,
revitalize the urban sprawl.
So just like pick a random match that was like picked low and just see what I rank it, and just don't tell me.
I've given some thought to doing that. Right. I don't know if I want to, like, because this time together is so precious, Ryan.
So precious.
So precious.
As is life.
As is life. Okay. So I've given you a few numbers. What are we feeling today? What are we feeling? This ranking is so stupid. Like, you don't even know these fucking math. Like, it's just, Eric, I'm just going to choose a number.
Here's the problem with
Ryan pick a number out of his ass.
Here's the thing, okay? Right?
Uh-huh.
You watch hundreds and hundreds and thousands of wrestling matches like me, right?
This is 93rd, yes.
93rd.
Uh-huh.
You should have done
I don't want to hear
point about scoring. That would have made it so much tidier and like cleaner.
Tidier.
Do a decimal system, you know, that's it. But Eric, that's on you. All right.
Yep. Big good one. Yep. Where are you ranking this fucking thing? So we can move on to my actual ranking.
47.
So you're putting it towards good.
Putting where I want to put it.
Oh my god. You're like Dennis Rodman. You're bad as you want to be. We don't even know what that's bumping down. So you're saying, oh, I'm going to clock you in the face. You're saying that this is better than the Dream Team versus the Million Dollar Team, which was the debut of the Undertaker.
This wasn't my point of this match wasn't that this match was horrible. It was just so and good point. I get you brought up okay. All right. I'm mostly just doing this because you've really pissed me off in the last 5 minutes.
And just give me a number.
47. I just did.
Okay,
five times.
So you're saying that by proxy that this is better than Dream Team versus Million Dollar Team. And you're saying
by proxy, yes.
It's worse than Rob Van Dam and Sabu versus Hayabusa and Jinsei Shunseki. That's where Ryan's putting us. None of these rankings make any sense for him. I don't know why we're wasting any of our fucking time listening to him rank anything because he's just picking numbers now.
I'm not picking numbers. I put this right dead center of the where exactly where I wanted it to be.
No, you didn't. 57 was it.
No, 47 was dead center of the matches.
Well, yeah, but not dead center of like the rankings.
This match deserves.
You're saying this is this okay match towards deserves good.
Dead center.
Oh my All god! Right? This is how this is going.
Grow
now
up, Eric.
This is how this is going now that we're fucking together again. Yeah. Like now, I remember why I don't like
going back home
at all.
I'm going back to Colorado.
Now here comes the real ranking. I hope you just fast forward to the last 3 minutes of bullshit. Now,
where are you gonna put this?
Oh, somewhere much better 46? Than you,
46,
dickhead.
I bet you love this match.
I need to figure out that app that I use to like navigate through my computer and my phone. So for me, this feels like saying that this was a good match doesn't feel genuine.
Agreed.
This feels like an okay match.
For sure.
It also doesn't feel like a bad match either. I think okay is the right spot.
We agree.
So the very center of okay for me would be Hulk Hogan versus Undertaker or Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels.
It'd be a shame to put this match
I don't want any input. Yeah. Peanut gallery. Go ahead. Shut up. What do you? What's your point? Which I know is stupid. What are you saying right now?
I just think it'd be a shame to knock those matches back in favor of this match.
So,
but you're right. It's also in the middle of a case, so like it's not like Bass not getting. So do what you do, Eric.
Is it? Is that where it goes? That might be where it goes. Give me just a second.
Where are they?
Pardon me?
Where are those two that you just... Is that 57 that you said, or like in the middle?
I'm looking at 73 and 74.
Oh, it's even... Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's gotten worse.
It's gotten worse. Yeah. It's gotten worse. But I mean, again, I've ranked more matches higher than you have. Like, yeah. My okay is lower than yours because I think more matches that we've watched have been good, great, or amazing, or whatever. It's not as good as Kenny Omega versus Haruka. I don't think it's as good as Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior.
I think you're taking this match a little too seriously.
No.
This match doesn't deserve.
My science is important.
The amount of thought that you're putting into it.
And you ranked it. You ranked it highly, for the record. You ranked it highly.
Well, I get what you're saying by that, but I put it dead center, which I think it belongs.
I'm putting it new number 76. It is going to be above Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Owen Hart, where Austin got his neck broke, and below Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch.
These are your rankings right now, right?
Okay. This is my ranking. It's a new number 76 for me.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'm going with that. I might change it.
76 is low. I don't know how that's still an okay. It must be like a small bad and very bad list on yours.
Yeah. I've got a lot of matches in good, great, and amazing. Yeah. And you don't have as many. that's the reason there. That's where it goes. That's where it goes. All right, Ryan, we've made it. The end of our first in-person session. How are you feeling?
We have to go back to out of person.
Yeah, I think this might be too much person. too much person for us both. But we got to finish it. Yeah. As per usual, we got to finish it with Eric's Wisdom Tree. Actually, one more.
You went a little hard on that. Am I on it too? On it. Oh.
You're on it too.
Yeah, wow.
this is a thing only like two people would understand. I'm the learning tree.
Is that PBS?
That's wrestling.
Oh.
It's actually Chris Jericho. Okay. Eric's Wisdom Tree.
This is always one that I'm surprised you don't have like ready to go. I know you have a list, but like you just never have this question ready to go.
I probably should.
You shoot off the hip, you know?
Okay, this feels like the appropriate one for this. I don't know why. I don't know why it feels appropriate. This is me. This is a me problem. I'm not like this is all on me. You're not
projecting onto me.
Maybe we'll see how this conversation goes. But this is a me thing. Like I know this is somewhat irrational, but I'm bearing my soul by saying this.
Yeah.
People who have tattoos on their hands that are preparing food gross me out.
No, that's probably most of your chefs, like in the back.
So by saying this, like I acknowledge that probably is the case.
Yeah.
But I remember watching a YouTube video where like some guy was like chopping up stuff and like mixing stuff and whatever, and he had like all these hand tattoos, and my stomach turned.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because it just seems so unclean to me. Like this is irrational. I'm not saying that.
No,
this is
fair
like,
enough. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. But like know, I just yeah. It's not, well, go ahead.
It grosses me out. Like I just when I see tattoos.
Do you think they're dirty people?
Probably. Probably yes. Like cuz like the color of tattoos is just sort of like this off, not always, but like usually, like this blackish off blue like sooty thing that you like it just looks like dirty hands. And like when they have hand tattoos, I just intrinsically think like, okay, they're all pierced up. They probably don't wash all that well. Like again, these are just thoughts that are going through my brain.
I think you might take this down. Like I think you might end up taking this wisdom tree down. This might never go on air.
What do you mean? I'm not saying that they are.
I know you. I don't like. I trust people with tattoos more than people without tattoos.
You don't have any tattoos. Is that why?
I don't have any tattoos. Yeah, I don't trust myself either. So. No, I would, especially like a chef, like I'd be like, fuck it. Like, please have tattoos if you're going to be cooking my food.
What?
Like,
that doesn't make any sense.
I don't want some guy who's like, you know, he's just really prepared his whole life. And he's just like, you know, like, oh, like I wanted to be a chef so bad. And he kind of had some failures, you know, but he had no tattoos because he's kind of a loser, you know. And then he goes and cooks in the kitchen he's not natural. He's not natural. He just had to work really hard, but he's not natural. I want a tattooed guy who ended up in the kitchen, who's a great chef just by, like, you know, that's just who he is. He is a chef to death, you know?
But this just happens to have hand tattoos.
Yeah. He's had a little bit of a life, you know?
He knows that he's not made for that 9-to-5 world. He's fully committed.
Exactly.
It's still gross to me. Like, so have you ever watched The Bear?
Is it worth, like, throwing on? And I've heard, like, it's pretty good things.
It's fine. Yeah, it's good.
It's worth Sure. I haven't seen it, but I want to.
It's good. Okay. It features one of my favorite songs of all time from The Refused, as a frequent. It's like the song that gets played most often. Although I will say, when they play the song, they, like, cock tease the song a bit. Like, they play it to a certain extent, but then, like, the song fucking kicks ass at a certain point, and then they always stop it before that point, except for, like, one. So it was, like, kind of giving me... They edged me a bit, and it gave me a little bit of blue balls about The Refused. But that's neither here nor there. But, like, one of the main... So the reason I'm asking is because there's an actor from that show that's kind of like a fat guy, and he has a lot of tattoos, like neck and face and hands and arms and whatever. And, like, there was a video where I saw he was the one doing stuff. And I don't know if it was a combination of him being fat and also having hand tattoos, but, like, his fat, tatted up sausage fingers, like, mixing up dough or whatever, was just giving me the ick in a big, big way.
You had the ick.
I had the ick. I rarely get the ick. Yeah. I was like, that's gross to me. I don't, like, I'm sure that whatever he made or was going to make would have been good. It would have been delicious. But, like, if I had the option of, like, seeing it versus not seeing it, I would have said no 100 times.
I'm sure there's things I haven't really thought about it, but, like, would gross me out about, like, someone cooking my food. But tattoos is not it. Like, no, I would want someone who has tattoos. Like,
this still doesn't make any sense to me, but that's, you know, that's fine.
I want a natural born chef in the kitchen.
You know, I don't have any tattoos. Is that saying you don't trust me?
I just ate your nacho tachos.
And you're saying they would have been better if I had hand tattoos?
Maybe there'd have been less olives on them. I'm just kidding. Actually, those are very good.
I don't know how you don't like black olives either.
No, it was fine. They were good. It's okay. I do kind of hate this opinion. I think this is going to be a tough one for you to post. People are going to be really pissed.
I think people will, like, be like, you know what? Like, yes, it's kind of gross.
No.
It's like, here's, I mean, maybe it's just gross regardless, like someone, like, rubbing their food on, like, let's say somebody had like a tattoo on their thigh or something. If somebody, like, rubbed food on that tattoo, that would be grosser to me than just rubbing on, like, a bare thigh.
That's another bad take. That doesn't make any sense. Like, that's so, like, like, I'd almost rather have it rubbed on a tattoo as, like, a barrier, like, like, skin. I'm not saying there is actually, I'm just saying, like, almost in my head, like, just, if we're taking that example, and I know that's crazy, like, sure. But, like, if, yeah, I'd rather have, like, a tattooed girl rub her chicken on.
I never said girl. I never said girl, Ryan.
Well, goddamn.
Let's take a step back here.
I don't,
okay. And this is the enlightened conversation that people come here for. Anything else, Ryan, before we wrap up the sowed, that's what they call it. Apostrophe sewed.
Is that Gen Z, maybe Gen A now?
Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm gonna go trim the sewed. That's some strange.
I love that
title. That's how you tie it together, right?
That's a lawn tomorrow. I'm gonna trim the sewed.
Oh, that's right. Okay, easy, pal. hope your neighbors don't
with
see
my it. With my gas lawnmower.
Okay,
because we don't give a fuck in Lake Stevens about your.
Really quick before we finish it out. So one thing that I have been listening to another podcast and I liked it when they did it, just to kind of give people an idea of some of the next, few episodes, but we've got, and this, some of these won't mean anything to you, Ryan, and that's fine. It's not important that it does, but for any rest
seems important because I'm part of the show.
Next episode or not next few episodes, just so people have this in mind, we've got the debut on the Hard Mark podcast of none other than Goldberg,
the goalie,
the
Mighty Ducks,
the famous. Also, Ryan said that Kurt Angle looked like Emilio Estevez today.
He dressed like him.
he was wearing a spandex singlet,
Ryan. Coach Bombay USA.
Did Coach Bombay
USA
wear- Okay, I'm not getting through to you. We've also got the return of Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle will be making another appearance against none other in an odd choice, but it'll make more sense when we start talking about it. Shane McMahon, the son of Vince McMahon. So we've got that coming up as well. We've also got, what else do we got? Oh, the WCW and WWF titles finally coming together, being merged. We will have the very first undisputed champion in the history of professional wrestling. We'll be talking about that coming up soonish as well. And then the return of Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan will have another match
about time
coming up in the near future. I thought we might have been done with him after we watched him versus Vince.
Oh, really?
I wasn't sure.
Okay.
But there's
well, good to have him back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We missed the Hulkster, but we'll see him. He'll be back in action. And then also a big match coming up next time around. Next time we not Rumpus time, but our next wrestling episode, we're gonna have two heavy hitters of the podcast facing off for the very first time that we've seen in Stone Cold Steve Austin taking on The Rock. That'll be next episode.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Way to draw me in.
So there you go. So stay tuned for that again. Hulk Hogan, Goldberg, some big stuff. So I know this was kind of like a match nobody ever heard of. Matches that you have heard of are coming up very soon. But we appreciate you sticking with us. We appreciate you listening. Next few episodes, at least, will be in person until Ryan decides he wants to move to Alaska or where the fuck else he's going to.
You apparently get a little money from the government if you move to Alaska from oil.
I don't think it's that much money.
It's that much.
It's like a couple $1,000.
Every quarter.
That are you just you're just.
No, I that's not, it's just a, I just heard it. I just heard it at a bar.
How much
Hawkeyes
money do you get for living in Alaska? Alaska offers a permanent fund dividend, a PFD payment, to most residents every fall, which is a resource dividend that includes cash assistance. In 2022, the PFD included an energy relief payment, bringing the total amount to $3,284.
You missed the quarterly payment that I was talking about.
It doesn't say anything about a quarterly payment.
No, that's because you overlooked it.
In 2023, eligible Alaskans received $1,312.
What about 2024?
In 2024, the dividend is proposed to be more than $3,000 per eligible Alaskan, but lawmakers have said it will be likely closer to the $1,312.
Anything about 2025?
No, dipshit. All right. We're ending this now. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're not hard, get hard. Once you get hard, stay hard. Don't take any bumps into steel steps. Goodbye. Also, Ryan said that Kurt Angle looked like Emilio Estevez today.
He dressed like him.